Welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an upload. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Enjoy this week's show and don't forget to share it with all your friends.
Hey, I'm Russell Leeds and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing how the Tories are crushing landlords, in particular, small landlords. I'm joined by Sue and Tim, who are both property mentors in the Samuel Leeds team. So I suppose the first thing to look at is what are the new legislation or the recent legislation the Tories have actually brought in? And then we can discuss how it affects landlords and why we think they've brought it in as well. So what are some of the recent changes, guys?
Well, the first thing is bringing in the change on the furnished holiday lets. So previously, when they brought in Section 24, if you're a landlord, you're going to get hit by that tax, as most people know. But one way around it, other than have your property in a limited company, which costs money to do, the way around it was to use your property as a furnished holiday let or serviced accommodation. But now that is going to be hit by Section 24 as well. So if you've got a property in your own personal name, which many small landlords have, we have still, haven't we?
Yeah.
That is not a way around it anymore. So you're being forced to buy it into a limited company and everything that goes with that, which is the stamp duty, the solicitor's fees, everything. You've literally got to buy it into your own limited company.
To avoid the Section 24, which, don't forget, was the Tories brought in.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Right? It very much feels like they're pushing landlords to go down the limited company route. Like you say, every little tweak seems to be making it more difficult for small landlords. Yeah. So another thing they brought in was the scrapping of the multiple dwelling relief.
Correct.
Right. Again, it's hitting the small landlords. It's not going to affect big landlords that are buying big units because they're buying commercial properties. So it's not an issue. But small landlords that are buying two or three apartments, maybe to rent them out. Again, they're being hit. So they've done the multiple dwelling relief. They've done the furnished holiday lets, turning it into Section 24. Obviously, in this, not only this term, but under this same Tory government, they've brought in Section 24, which is, again, that was one of the biggest, I know it's a long time ago now, 2017?
Yeah. 17, yeah.
But that was a big shock for this government, don't you think?
A lot of landlords wanted to give up at that time, didn't they?
Yes.
And we know, you know, we didn't, but a lot of landlords were like, oh, throw the towel in. And that's how people are feeling. Some people are feeling like that now.
And some landlords have had to sell large proportions of their portfolio just to succeed.
Yeah. Well, they're in a situation where, for the first time, certainly I've ever known, you could actually be paying more tax than you were making in profit.
Correct.
You could be making no profit, especially with interest. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if I totally blame the government for the... Do you blame the government for the interest rates?
Maybe.
They do fluctuate, don't they, from time to time?
They do fluctuate. You can't totally blame them for that.
But
maybe.
Let's just blame them
anyway.
And let's blame them for the bills as well, going up.
Well, part of the reason it's gone up is because of COVID. And then, you know, obviously they're needing to get extra money. Part of the reason. And you could argue that the way they overreacted, like the rest of the world, but the way they overreacted to COVID maybe didn't help. But hey-ho. But the interest rates have gone, that hasn't helped either. Do you want to just explain for anyone that doesn't know what Section 24 actually is?
I was just going to say, I don't want to move off that point just yet because it's absolutely massive for landlords. So imagine that you've got a rented property and you're paying £500 in mortgage on it. And let's say the rent on it is £1,100, okay?
Yeah.
So you're only making £600 profit. In every other sector, every other business, you would be allowed to put that mortgage or that £500 that's not profit, that would not be, you'd not pay tax on that.
Because it's an expense.
It's an expense.
It's an obvious business expense.
Yeah, so everything, like if you were a farmer, your seeds and all of that would get taken off, and what's left is your profit.
Yeah.
And that's what you're taxed on. So this is the only industry where you have to pay tax on the whole turnover, the whole income, regardless of what your expenses are. So it hits landlords in two different ways. First of all, they're paying more tax because they're paying it on the whole 1,100 instead of the 600.
Yeah.
But the other whammy is, in some cases, it's pushing people into the higher tax bracket.
Yeah.
So instead of paying 20% or whatever, they might be paying 45%. So they cannot afford to keep those properties.
No.
And that's what we saw. We saw just people just leaving in droves. Mm-hmm. We hung in. There was, at the time, it wasn't like, oh, you can go and set it up as a limited company. That was unknown to us. We didn't know that bit.
Yeah.
So we hung in because we thought the rationale is a lot of politicians and rich people have property. So there's going to be a way around it.
Yeah, and there always is ways around it.
There always is.
Right? They're not hitting the professional landlords. They're not hitting the people that are in the know.
Yeah.
They're hitting all those people that have inherited a house or over years have bought their own house and then they've bought another house, kept it. And rent
a bit sad, it's really, the amateur landlord. It is a bit sad.
It is sad.
And we know people with holiday lets because we're from the Peak District. We know people that have got them and they're struggling like mad because, you know, they're just like, oh, what next? And they feel like giving up.
I know somebody who didn't know what to deal with this. They bought properties purely to give affordable housing. They weren't in it to make money, just affordable housing. And he's had to sell up because he can't compete with this.
Yeah, he can't even.
He was there to help tenants. He wasn't trying to be what people call greedy landlords. He was generally trying to help people. And he said, what do? I've got to sell up. I've got no choice.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. All right, what else have they done then? So they've done the furnished holiday lets, which is...
But the way around that was to do furnished holiday lets. Oh, now,
yeah.
Now...
Sorry, yeah.
Now, there's no way around it. There is no
so they're closing the loophole on so section 24, and then we've gone, okay, there is a way around it, and they've gone, oh dear, there's
look
a way around
what
it.
What they're doing, yeah. Boom, yeah.
But they're trying to hit the whole service accommodation industry in general, though, a bit. I don't think the new legislation that came in for service accommodation was as bad as it could have been. I think it could have been a lot worse. I think it was obvious they were going to bring something in, which is fair enough, really. Yeah. I think, you know, people say, oh, there should be no regulation. I don't think there should be no regulation. I think regulation is good if it makes sense and it works. It's when it's ridiculous legislation that is a problem. So I don't think the service accommodation legislation is that bad. I think Section 24 in general is bad.
Yeah.
It's
unfair.
It is unfair.
It's totally unfair.
To me, they're just trying to push landlords to go down the limited company route.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they're just trying to push landlords out so that they can... Someone else can own them, like the council or banks, and then they'll have full control. I think they're just trying to push landlords out.
Well, it's interesting you say that because Lloyds have obviously entered the landlord market. So what you think that the government are working with the banks to push them out, let the banks take over?
And the council.
There's an agenda going on that we don't know, in my opinion. Because... all the forums I've been listening to, people I've been talking to, property investors I've been talking to, say it doesn't make sense. They're going to evict tenants before all this comes in. Tenants are going to be on the street and landlords are going to sell up or switch to service accommodation, one or the other. It's obvious that's going to happen, but the government are taking no notice. I've written to my MP, hasn't had the courtesy to respond on the matter. It's clear it's going to happen. So as Sue says, I think they are looking for corporate lets and the big banks will take over, and in a few years' time, when they've pushed all us out, then they'll turn...
When they've tried to push us out.
Well, tried to push us out, should I say. Tried to push us out. But they'll then want to change legislation so it'll go back to what it is at the moment. That's my view, but I could be wrong. But
so do you think this is just for buy-to-lets? Because obviously at the moment they're still helping developers, for example, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're making it very easy.
Do you know why, though?
Go on.
Because they need more houses.
Yeah.
So developers are making more houses, but I think they want to control the housing market, the rental market. So, yeah... developers don't own. Developers are making them. They need more houses. So, great for them. They're relaxing the planning rules. They've brought in a load of permitted development for flats and all kinds of different... They've improved on that side of it.
Yeah.
But then once the houses are there, who's going to own them? And what landlords are going to want them? That's what I think they're doing.
So they're trying to... So they're happy for... Because you'd think that maybe the banks would want to get involved in the developing side as well, maybe, if they're happy to be normal landlords. But it doesn't seem... I agree with you. It doesn't seem that way. It's more about the... Because, like I said, the government are making it very easy with the new permitted developments, and they're, it's the councils that are trying to control the development, not the government.
Yeah.
Right. But for a buy-to-let landlord, especially a buy-to-let landlord that owns it in their personal name... They're making it really, really difficult. But it's an interesting theory that they're trying to push it out to let Lloyds and the banks, etc., become the landlords. So do you think they're going to make it difficult, push as many out as possible,
and then
make it good again?
Yeah.
I think so. Time will tell.
So what would you... If you were thinking of getting into the buy-to-let...
Can I just say, there's loads of threats. Like, they threatened to change the EPCs, didn't they, recently?
They did.
Landlords left over that. Oh, we're not going to do it now. But there's those threats keep coming out. They're threatening with abolishing Section 21.
Well, that's back again.
That's back again.
So that was... They announced that when... I think it was at the last general election that was the plan. And then they said, well, the problem is the courts aren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically what would happen is, if you get rid of Section 21, you get rid of non-fault evictions... Every eviction went up going through court. And the court system, I don't know if you guys have been to court recently.
Not for a long time.
We have been to court, but not that recently, no.
So the courts, I honestly think the courts are if it was a company, it would be the worst run company in the world. I can't... It's
the council,
shockingly
is it?
Bad. Everything the government runs is terrible.
Mm.
Right? Everything that's the council, but the courts, honestly, top it. We've had like cases. Obviously, we've got a lot of staff. We've got loads of properties. I go to court. I don't know, maybe two or three times a year. So it's reasonably regular enough for me to sort of stay in. But one of the reasons it's so many times is because the amount of time it gets cancelled and rescheduled, and you know, even little easy things take years. And then literally the day before they'll call you, we haven't got enough judges.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't. You pick the date.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with the council of planning. So with Ribsford, because it's Grade 2 listed star, and we've got the planning thing. So we've got English Heritage and the council and us that have got it all liaised together. So we arranged a meeting. Obviously, we were like, well, we can do any time. We can do tomorrow. We can do the next day. Wherever you want, we're free. So we're easy. They're not so much, right? So we got a meeting in. It took 6 months to get a date that all three of us, all two of them, because we were flexible, all two of them could do. 6 months. The day before, the council pulled out, can't make it, schedule another date, 6 months again. It's like...
Do you know what I think it is? Because when we were doing Coles Hill, and we had a conservation officer from the council, he only used to work on a Tuesday. So if it was Wednesday and you wanted some help, they would just say, oh, you need to phone back next Tuesday. It was like literally 6 days. And then because he only worked on a Tuesday, he was really busy.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, we've used the council for building control, haven't we? And then we've also used private company. Control. And the difference is, like you say, is astronomical. I think it's because they just get paid a set amount. They've got no incentive to do anything any quicker or any better. But if your company is doing building control, well, if you acted like the council, you'd be out of business, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and they also well underpay. Yeah. So all their staff are underpaid. So all the good ones, when you underpay and treat them like crap,
they leave.
What happens is they all leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're left with all the crappos. Well, it's like the planning consultants, right? Any planning consultant that's worth their salt...
I wonder what the council workers are thinking.
Well,
it's what we've found.
Do you know what? There are some good ones, but they're drowned.
Yeah.
There's too much for them to do,
yeah,
right?
So
I'm sure there are some good ones that stick it on because they want to help or whatever. But it's not their fault. It's the system's fault.
NHS
is exactly the same. The courts are the same. When you compare NHS to when you go private, it's night and day,
yeah,
right? But it shouldn't be, because the government should just put more money into it.
The thing is, though, with that, you've got a choice, but when you're just dealing with the council and you've got all the court, there isn't a choice.
No.
You've got to deal with them.
Yeah. So what else have the Tories done? They brought in Section 24, which screwed over all small landlords. They've recently just made it worse by effectively getting rid of the service accommodation trade. We briefly touched on Section 21 eviction notices, so where they're making it more difficult.
Well, that's going to be massive when that comes out.
Do you think it will come out?
I don't know. They haven't learned from Scotland yet, have they? When they've tried it in Scotland for a period.
Well, they try everything in Scotland, don't they? Scotland's like a little testing ground.
The guinea pig.
Well, it's very socialist. The government's very socialist. They can try all these lefty things out in Scotland, and then when it doesn't work, then hopefully we don't get it here. But it's weird though, because this doesn't feel like a Conservative government.
No.
It's like they're doing the work for Labour. But maybe it's because they're trying to help the banks, possibly. What else have they done?
As a landlord, though, you feel that you've got the right to say no dogs, for example. It's your house, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you haven't got the right to say anything. You know, if all this comes in, you haven't got the right to say anything. They treat you like they own the house. You know, so you can't just rent... You couldn't even rent it out to somebody that you know and say no dogs. You can't do that when it comes out.
It's a tricky one though, because at the same time, I've got a dog. I've been in both camps. Yeah. I do feel like I'm very impartial because I'm a landlord, and up until recently I've been a tenant. Most of my adult life I've been a tenant anyway, right? So I've been a landlord and a tenant. So when you are a tenant, you do want to feel like it is your own home. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it isn't.
It isn't.
It isn't your own home. You do know that.
And that's the balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
You feel like it is. It is your home, but it's not your house. So you can't just change all the... You can't just go and paint it all black inside.
No.
And that's fair. Because it's... We wouldn't really want your house to be wrecked by someone and devalued, would you?
No.
I think if the deposit scheme was different... So, if you have a dog, I'm just saying, I haven't thought this through much, but if you wanted to do X, Y, and Z, you could literally put it back to scratch after. But that doesn't happen. We've just had someone move out of ours.
That's like commercial lets, right? So, with commercial lets, if you can basically do what you want,
yeah.
but you've got to put it back into the same nick it was in when you give it back. That would seem fair.
We've just had a single let tenant move out, haven't we?
Yep.
How much did that cost us?
About £5,000 it's costing us.
Right. Their deposit was about £1,000.
That property used to be an HMO. This single tenant had done more damage in 1 year than all the other tenants in 15 years.
And we haven't made a penny on it. Because we can't charge them for that damage.
You've got a deposit of whatever it is.
It's about £1,500, isn't it? £2,000, something like that.
The deposit scheme is an idea, but it doesn't work well.
No.
And you can't take more deposit.
No.
You can only take 5 weeks.
Yeah. Unless it's a really... You can if it's a really expensive house, can't you?
No.
I'm pretty sure I was paying over a certain amount...
Yeah, but it was company let.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think over a certain amount... I can't remember the exact rules, but over a certain amount, they can charge you... It's how much you're paying a month. It's something like if you're paying over £5,000 a month or something, then the rules change.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah,
none of our houses. They're in the Midlands, so.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact figures.
No, I think you are right. Yeah.
All right. So, what else have the Tories done recently? Is there anything else? I mean, to be honest, Section 24 alone
was bad news.
Yeah.
I think Section 24, Article 4 is coming in for SAs.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then if Section 21 comes in, those two...
Section 21's massive as well.
It's massive.
All right, so with all this being said, we've got the general election coming up. I think it'd be a bit of a shock if the Conservatives get in again. But having said that, as a property investor, and how bad the Conservative government have been, who are you going to vote for?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, it won't be Labour.
I think Labour will probably get in. Are you, as a landlord, do you think landlords should be scared about having a Labour government getting in?
We'll get... Whatever they do, we'll get around.
I don't think we should be scared.
That's the way we work.
We've seen this, haven't we?
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah. So you're not scared? You know, what do you think... I almost like think, well, like I mentioned, said earlier, it's almost like the Conservatives have done the work for them. Like, other than maybe rent caps, maybe if Labour get in. Do you think that obviously Sadiq Khan's talking about rent control in London?
But that hasn't worked in Scotland either. Again, go back to Scotland, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it hasn't worked in New York, it hasn't worked wherever they've tried it. But I do think I could see rent caps coming in if Labour get in.
Could well be.
So I would say if the rent caps do come in, you want to make sure that your properties are all up to the market value, because it will be stuck at whatever it is now. It will then be, and they might say, you know, you can increase it 3% a year or whatever it is.
And again, to some extent, I don't totally disagree with rent caps if they're fair, because people have got to live somewhere and they have, you know, they want to be able to afford it. The problem is,
but do you think if they do rent caps, then they should do interest rate caps?
Yeah, or they should do rent caps that are reviewed every year or something like that. I think the thing is that it's looking behind it, isn't it, at their motives and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I probably agree with you. I don't think the rent cap is designed to hurt the landlord particularly. I think it's to stop the landlords from hiking up the rents and to protect the rents.
And to be fair, years ago when we started, some of the HMOs were not some people's HMOs were literally not livable. They were bad. And I think there should be control. I think there should be some legislation. I'm in favour of the fire regs that have just come out for SAs. I'm in favour of safety. I'm in favour of all of that, you know.
But it's interesting you say about that. My electrician has some interesting stories to tell when he goes to look at council properties. And he thinks, they don't comply with
rules. They're damp, mould.
They're damp, mould, electrics are up to scratch, but we as private landlords have to comply. The council don't have to comply. That is not fair.
No, it's not. But surely the council do have to comply. It's just that they're not. Yeah. They're not saying they're exempt.
They're months and months behind.
Yeah. Which is the council. Of course they are, right? That's kind of goes about saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the same way, there'll be some landlords that don't comply, right?
Correct.
So I think it is fair. It's just that the council are rubbish. But that goes about. So we know that's going to be the case. Of course it's going to be the case. They're rubbish at everything that they do, right? So that's not a surprise. Regarding the regulations and everything, I agree with you. I think it's fair as well. Although I do think a small part of me does think obviously you don't want properties that are unsafe.
No.
But is there a market? Are there people that can't afford let's say you only had, I don't know, let's say you moved over here and you could only afford £100 a week. From a landlord's point of view, if you've got a property that was... Oh, no, I'm just thinking out loud here.
Yeah.
I might disagree with what I'm saying. But if you had a property that was, like, a bit crap and it had, you know, it wasn't maybe the right room size or whatever, it didn't have enough kitchen
surface
space.
But someone was willing to live in it.
That if it was correct, wouldn't be able to afford it. And it's that, well, from their point of view, it's either all on the street...
Yeah.
Or I'm living in a house that the kitchen workspace isn't quite big enough and it isn't done up to a very good standard. Should there be regulation that says it has to be like this, otherwise you can't rent it out? But with service accommodation, there's not, is there? It's just if it's crap, no one's going to stay there, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
so should there be regulation? I don't know. That'd be an interesting one. What do you guys think?
I think there's too much regulation. We can get on. There's just reasonableness, isn't there?
It should be safe.
It should be safe. All right. And I think...
Maybe like a car MOT equivalent.
Yeah, it should be safe, yeah.
Yeah, that's an idea.
You got to get your house MOT'd. And it's got to be livable, can't have damp. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
I think
it
should be safe.
Yeah, I think the car MOT service is like we should use that for ourselves. Like in China, they do a health check once a year.
Yeah.
You know, on themselves. We do it for cars, we don't do it for our houses, we don't do it for. I suppose we do it for a bit. We have electrical safety checks, gas safety checks, etc. But yeah, interesting one. I agree with you, I think it should be safe. It shouldn't have, a lot of council houses in particular have had problems with bad mould.
Oh yeah, and then people are getting...
And people have died.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Which is obviously, you know, shocking.
Really bad, yeah.
So, Labour then, what are you thinking? If Labour come in, you say it's not the end of the world? Rent caps, anything
it's
else?
It's not the end of the world,
They'll definitely push through this, if it doesn't happen already, scrapping section. I think the Section 21 scrap, that will go, I think.
Should I tell you what I think they'll want to do?
Go on.
I think they'll want to buy your SAs off you.
Buy your holiday letters?
Yeah.
Who will buy your holiday
letters? Housing associations or council orientated people.
Don't you think, though, the fact that they've... this is where I think the SA legislation is really good. The fact that it's going to be its own use class and the fact that existing ones are getting grandfather rights with that use class, don't you think that differentiates it from normal buy-to-let property investing?
So how long does it have to have been an SA to get the grandfather rights?
It just has to be primary use.
Yeah. I think they will buy back. I think they'll want to buy properties back. I think they want to own...
Who the councils?
The councils. And I think the councils want... Well, the government slash council, whatever you want to call it.
And what do you think that will do for tenants? Because a lot of tenants will think that's brilliant, won't they? If the councils are buying council-owned homes, they'll think that's amazing. But then we just said that we think council-owned homes are rubbish. So what do you think
Short term, there'll be a massive lack of housing, won't there?
Which will push prices up.
Yeah. But I think they'll... I don't know. We're all predicting. But I think they will give incentives for land. I think they'll put pressure on and then give incentives for landlords to sell.
Okay.
To try and get the houses off them.
Yeah. Which is what they usually do.
Mm.
Give you incentives, like incentives to have an electric car. And as soon as you get one, all the incentives start to disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you why I'm not worried.
Go on.
At all. Number one, we've seen loads of different things come in and go out. Interest, you know, when people say interest rates are high, when I bought my first house, I was paying 18% interest.
I think that's about what it was when I was born.
Yeah, when you were little. Yeah.
It was about that. Yeah.
So interest rates are one thing. All of the regulations, all of the things that there's always been something like. I remember when Section 24 came in. Article 4 came in for HMOs and landlords were worried then, weren't they?
Yeah.
So that doesn't worry me. The other thing is that I don't think you should rely on any government for your financial freedom or your success. You know, just find what you can do and go and do it, and there'll always be something we can do.
Yeah, I agree. Well, at the moment, just by putting your properties in a limited company.
Exactly.
Basically, pretty much all these problems are solved. And
yeah.
The other thing is, you can't really change, like, you can't, if Labour come in, they can't say, oh, well, if it's in a limited company, I don't see how they could tax it differently if it's in a limited company.
One never knows.
But you're either making it for all limited companies. You can't just say, oh, for this specific type of limited company. Do you know what I mean? I don't see how you could.
Let's say that they say, it has to be a housing association to let it out to the public. Well, people will just collaborate, won't they? And make their own housing associations.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried because there'll be a way around
renting it. Through housing associations is actually a pretty good strategy anyway.
Well, yeah, renting it to a housing association. Yeah. So there'll be more openings for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's always opportunity. I think the key is just to keep
updated.
Keep updated. Yeah, I think the people that get, if you look back, the people that are being hit are the people that don't know what they're doing.
And panic.
And panic and sell. Don't sell. When new legislation comes in, it's definitely not the time to sell. Because it will always sort itself out. There'll always be ways around it. And when everyone sells, like Warren Buffett says, when everyone's scared, that's when you want to be greedy. When everyone's greedy, that's when you want to be scared.
Yeah.
And when I always think when there's disruption and problems and the government bringing in legislation, it's always an opportunity.
Yeah.
And all the people that don't know what they're doing are going to be leaving the market.
And that makes it a buyer's market. So that pushes the prices down.
Yeah.
It's a terrible time to sell when everyone's panicking.
It is.
You always need to fight. We have a mindset of getting ourselves out of issues, what have you. I remember, I don't know who it was, an entrepreneur, when every time there was a budget, he'd think, all right, budgeting, how's that affecting me? I'm now going to go sit away for 24 hours, work out how I'm getting around all this. So he wasted the day of his time trying to sort it out. He says, right, I'm back on track again now. They've done all they can do. It doesn't affect me. Off I go. He found a solution. And that's what we'll do. We'll find a solution, whatever they do.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the other thing I think as well is it doesn't... Whoever's in power... It's just the two of them, isn't it, really? They're going to take it in turns, right?
Yeah.
So Tories will be in until we all get sick of them. And then they vote Labour in, and then they're into, we'll get sick of them, and then so on and so forth. But whoever's in doesn't actually make much difference.
No.
At the end of the day,
in all the years I've lived, we are still a capitalist country, however you describe it. It may be slightly blue at one stage, and it might be slightly red at one stage, but we're still a capitalist society. Whatever the Labour say, they're still capitalists. They can call themselves what they like, but that's what it is.
I don't think Starmer is super... It's not like Jeremy Corbyn getting it either, is it?
No.
You know, he's more... You were saying the other day, he's more in the Tony
Blair.
He's more
of a right-left, yeah.
And I think
appears to be.
And I think that the Tories that have been in recently, like Cameron, they're more middly anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the ones that are getting in are more in the middle. So you're right, it is just not like we're, you know... I mean, some countries it's very different, right? So, you know, some countries they've got leaders, like in Russia and South Korea, you know. So I'm not saying it can never happen over here, but from... And you say all your years, you've got a lot more years than me.
We're lucky, really.
We are lucky.
We are. There's still loads you can do, and that's what you need to be looking at.
There's loads you can do. There's always opportunities, always way around it. And the other thing, you've always got to remember, and you mentioned this earlier on, the people that make the rules also invest in property.
Yeah.
Right? So if they're investing in property on this little island, that means there's always going to be a way around it to make it work.
Their way around it.
Their way around it.
It's the same with inheritance tax, though, isn't it? The rich don't pay it.
Yeah.
There's ways around it.
Trusts and the likes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think in some, you haven't answered there who you're going to vote. Maybe you won't. You don't know. I don't know. I don't think I voted last time.
Oh, I have answered it, actually.
Have you?
I said not Labour. And you said there was only two.
Well, there's only two that are going to get in.
Put it this way. I think you should vote. But, you know, there's loads of things that we don't particularly... think are great. We don't think the education system's great. So you do something about it yourself.
Mm.
You don't have to have what they give you, do you?
No.
At all. You don't have to have the wage they want to give you. You don't have to have the healthcare they want to give you. You don't have to have the education they don't want to give that they want to give you. You make your own way, don't you?
You do.
That is the bottom line for me.
I agree. I mean, that's a... quite a good way to end, actually, as well, yeah. So, guys, thanks so much for watching. We will see you next week.